It is a blessing this morning to hear what the Lord has been doing this last week. And after everything that you all have heard and I have heard, for me to get up here this morning and share an opening meditation is a little intimidating to me. Because what could I possibly bring that you haven't heard already? And as many things as you all have taken in this last week, but the Lord would have it this morning that there would be an opening. And I want to be faithful and trust the Lord. Let's just bow our hearts for a word of prayer. Lord, you know each one of us. And you know, Lord, what we need this morning. And I just pray, Lord, that you would minister your grace and your word to each one of our hearts. You would strengthen me, Lord, and allow me to see past myself and trust you, Lord, with these few thoughts that I have, and that they may not fall on empty or unprepared soil, but Lord, that your word would take root, that the seed would take root, and your name would be glorified. We just commit this time in your hands, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I wrote a few things up here on the board, and I know that both of them equal the same answer. But if you notice, there's one in small case letters, and then there's another one in capital letters, and we want to talk about that a little bit here. But let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, starting in verse 1. We're all familiar with this, the triumphal entry of the Lord Jesus when he went to Jerusalem. We're going to read, 11 verses 1 through 11 there. It says, "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, or opposite of you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you," in other words, if any man says anything to you, "you shall say, The Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. And brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees, and strawed them in the way. And the multitude that went before, that followed, cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." I can't be for certain. Maybe someone here can help me out. But which one of the two that Jesus actually sat upon, if it was the donkey or if it was the colt of the donkey? But it just says in verse 7, "And they brought the ass and the colt and put on them their clothes, and they set him," Jesus, "thereon." And so, I don't know that it matters. It would have been an interesting sight. But in those days, I don't know what was available. I'm sure that there was other transportation available for Jesus to get on and ride into Jerusalem with, other than a donkey or a colt of a donkey. And I don't know if
When I think of a donkey and when I think of this picture, this was a pretty anticipated event. It was a big deal. Zechariah prophesied. In Zechariah 9, verse 9, it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just, having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon the colt of an ass." Actually, in John 12, verse 15, it says, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh sitting on the colt of an ass." So there, John gives a picture that he was actually sitting on the colt. Anyways, it doesn't really matter. The one thing that I gather from this was Jesus had to make an entry into Jerusalem. That was the important thing here. And as it says here in Zechariah, there's three things that stand out to me in this prophecy in Zechariah. It says, he is just. That is one thing. The second thing is he's having salvation. He is just and having salvation. And the third, lowly. Those three things I noticed in that verse. This was the Son of God. This is the King of the Jews, the Son of Man. He was called many, many different things, but we all know who Jesus is. And for us to see him coming riding in, he never needed anything to bring attention to himself. He didn't need this great horse or this stallion or whatever was available back then. He didn't need what was important here was to notice that the attention that Jesus brought to himself was he being the Son of God, was the working of God, the authority that he had. Men marveled because of the authority that he had and the contentment that was in his life. He didn't need other attractions in order to show others who he was. And do you have any idea who I am? He was a meek and lowly. He was God in the flesh. He was God, the creator of heaven and earth, in the flesh, walking amongst us. And he didn't need all the glamorous things of the world to be noticed. And I would just like to submit to us this morning that we don't either. We don't either. There's a verse in Colossians 3. I was looking for this verse this morning. It's in Colossians 3. You don't need to turn there. It's in 17. It says, "Whatsoever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus," or something like that. I think you're all familiar with it. But whatsoever you do, if you do it as unto the Lord, that's really all that's necessary. That's really all that's necessary. Now, I know there are people, and there might be someone here this way, that feels like they're just not loved, or they feel like they just don't get any recognition no matter what they do. And if you are here this way this morning, I am not pointing you out, or I'm not here against you, because that's not who I'm preaching to. Because there is a need for each one of us to recognize that God does love us. God has provided for us. And whatsoever you do, if you do it in faith as unto the Lord will never forget those things that we do. But the thing I would like to talk about this morning is, if we notice here, we have fleshly selfishness, recognition, and equals glory. And that small case letter, glory, there is the glory of man. The glory of man. And when I was unconverted, I remember some 20 years ago, I used to own horses. And that used to be my mode of transportation. And even before I was married, we lived west on 124 up a long lane. We lived further west than anybody in our community. And so when we seen a horse and buggy come down the road a half a mile away, we knew that horse and buggy was coming to our place. And so I remember, and it was It was just amazing to me. My dad would be able to watch that horse and buggy, and he would be able to tell us who that is based upon what kind of horse they were driving. We would recognize the people back then, and I learned to do this myself, was we would recognize people by the horses they were driving long before we could recognize the person. And this was kind of, I'm not going to say it was bred into us, but it was kind of our culture. We liked a horse that there was a couple things that I liked about a horse. One was that it needed to be able to go fast. The other one, it needed to have a little bit of class, a little bit of style, and that was a little added recognition. So when I showed up, that, you know, people would recognize me because of maybe the horse that I was driving, or maybe it was the buggy that I was riding in. And it could be anything. But I was, back then, I do know that when I try to get someone's attention, I would do, if it didn't work the first one, I would try to get a little more creative. And I wanted them to know that, you know, I'm a special person, or I'm a pretty important person. It's as carnal as that sounds, that is, even in our converted, born-again condition, there is still something in us that I believe that we all have to deal with on a daily basis that's called recognition. And I think that we should give recognition where recognition is due, or credit. But I think the important thing is that we do not live for moments where we are looking for the honor of men. God makes it very clear, and I'm not going to go through it, but it says, "Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you." God warns us that if you are looking for the approval of men, you will probably not get mine. And that would be terrible. That would be a terrible condition. And so I want to just give an example here of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 9, where he healed this man that was born blind. We could read that. I don't think I'm going to, but I want to give an example here of this man. Jesus walked up to him. His disciples asked him who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind. And Jesus said, neither. This was done so that the works of God could be manifested there, or so that God could be glorified. That's why this man was born blind. And so Jesus, we all know the story, he spit on the ground and used the saliva and told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. I should just read it. But if you notice, Jesus did this, and he kind of hid himself from him and walked away. The Son of God didn't make a big scene. It was kind of, I'm not saying it was done in secret, but he did this. And many works that he did, and then he kind of walked away. And because he knew what was in man, he also knew that men would follow him because of the miracles. But the important thing that we want to get from this story is, we know how it goes, but there towards the end, he came back to the man and he asked him if he has any idea who this was. And Jesus was after one thing. His goal was so the man would honor God, glorify God, and worship him. And so he came back to him and asked him if he has any idea who the man was. I should read it, but anyways, I want to go on. So we have that picture. We have that picture of Jesus. There's other ones that we could go to. If you look at examples of him, he didn't need any other distractions or attractions. I shouldn't say, they really are distractions. But we sometimes look at them as attractions. It could be the vehicle we drive. It could be the very motive for us. If we look at the motive for what we do, why are we doing what we do? Is it so that men recognize us, or is it so that we are this donkey that God can come, that Jesus can come riding into Jerusalem on? And I don't know if I've ever seen a beautiful donkey, but this is what Jesus rode to. This is what Jesus chose to ride into Jerusalem with. I was on the phone last night with Brother Andy, and he asked me to pray for him because he's having a service. They're having a service in Bolivia this morning, and he doesn't have an interpreter, Brother Nicholas. So, how many locals come to the the church there? Six. Okay. Well, that's a few more than I thought, but so there's six people there, and Brother Andy, he expressed a desire for prayer because he feels inadequate. He doesn't have an interpreter, and it's to speak the language has been a challenge. Okay, and so I felt like the Lord give me some words of wisdom to give him because I know that he has a desire to preach. He has a passion to preach. And yet, he doesn't want it to be a have-to, but he wants it to be a get-to. And so, I just told him that, Andy, maybe the Lord is testing you. If you were in our congregation, you would jump to that. You would jump to that opportunity because there's 200 people there, and you can speak their language, and there's a lot more recognition. There's a lot more glory in that than there is to trying to reach out to six people that you can hardly speak their language to. But it's in God's eyes, there is no more glory speaking to 200 than there is to six. Actually, it's a test. God tests us and to see what our motives are. And if he gets the glory, the important thing is that he would get the glory, that he would receive the glory for whatever we do. I want to read a couple of verses in Galatians yet. Galatians chapter 6. Starting in verse 1, I just want to read the Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Brethren, if there's a man that ends up falling, maybe he falls into sin, ye which are spiritual, ye which are humble and lowly, in the spirit of gentleness, in the spirit of Christ, in the spirit of meekness, restore such a one. And then it says, consider thyself. Remember from where we have come from. Let us not feel like we have come to this place where he needs me. Or I just recently, and I don't know that I have time to share this example, but recently there was a man I've been working with some in and out the last 10 or 15 years. And he likes to talk about himself, and he likes to talk about what all he knows. He likes to talk about how important he is. But I have never seen him hold a job more than 2 or 3 months at the most since I've known him. But he keeps talking to me about how important he is and how much he knows and how much experience he has. And all those things are true. But the problem is with such a person that he is actually deceived because whenever someone thinks that they're irreplaceable, then it's time to get rid of them. It's time to replace them. And that's why he can't hold a job, because he's always comparing himself with how much he knows with others. But in all honesty, it's time for him to go just because of the mindset that he brings. And so, I'm not sure why I shared all that. Galatians chapter 6. Bear one another's burdens, verse 2, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. I'm going to paraphrase that verse, if I may. If a man thinketh himself to be Jesus when he is only a donkey, deceiveth himself. That I added that there. Verse 14, it says, But God forbid that I should boast. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. And as I share that verse, I believe I can tell you what that verse means, but I don't know that I can tell you exactly how it looks. And that's a challenge to my own life.
In Acts chapter 3, we know the story with Peter and John. You guys probably heard it when David Ausbaugh was preaching. I wasn't here the first night. But in Acts chapter 3, let me just read it. It says, "Now Peter and John went up together in the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate." So it was daily at the temple, which is gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing John, Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave them heed, and expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And immediately Peter seen what was about to happen here. And Peter was like, whoa, because he knew that the people were going to come and they were going to worship. And we can't help what people do in response to God working miracles in their midst. But it is up to us. It is our responsibility to give him the glory. It is our responsibility to be the donkey. Let Jesus receive the glory. All we are is a mode of transportation in which God is using. Remember what Jesus said. He said, if anyone tells you anything, he says, tell them I have need. Tell them I have need of the donkey. And that's what Jesus has for each one of you. He has a need for us. It's not so that you can look beautiful or can stand out amongst the crowd. That's not at all what the Lord wants, but it is that we could be used as Jesus used the donkey. We would be willing to be used in the same way. May God bless you.